Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another broadcast of The Zone. I am your host, Minister Tom Mirabeau. I would like to say thank you once again for tuning in and listening to the broadcast. I pray it's been a blessing to you. I pray that you have learned a little bit more of the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that is truth, and it's the Word of God that brings life and leads us to eternal life. I just want to talk about a little bit about what we discussed on the last podcast. It was the second writing to the Corinthian church, which is called 2 Corinthians by the Apostle Paul. And it was explaining, or he was explaining, that God was reconciling us to himself. And he was doing that through Christ. And this, the 1 Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 5 gets very interesting. Because chapter 5 always let them know that there's things going on in the Corinthian church that are not right. And he's letting them know by his letter that what is being allowed to happen is wrong. So we're going to get into that in a few minutes. Before we get into that, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share your word in the broadcast. I pray, Lord God, that anointing this with clay, and that I will speak what is the word of God. I pray hearts, minds, and ears would be open to receive from you, O Lord. Bless this time as we gather together in the breaking of bread of your word. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, let's get into the message, shall we? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It said, "This is reported commonly that there is fornication among you." Fornication, of course, is sexual sin. "And such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." So Paul was very upset in the letter because this is allowed to go on in the church, the Corinthian church. And Paul is letting them know, you're allowing this to go on and you're not even correcting this? This is wrong. This is sexual sin. In verse 3, it says, "For verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed." Now, see, he's saying, this person's been judged already. I've judged this person already who's done this. Now, he's not judging according to his own position. He's a judge, judging according to the word of God. And it says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory and is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you were unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must your needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such enough one not to eat, to do, to judge them also that are without. Do not you judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, what Paul is saying here is that, you know, you're not of the world. You're going to be in the world. And you're going to be around people that do this stuff, but you are not to partake with them. And if I may read what the Amplified Version says, it gives a better understanding of what's being said here. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, in the Amplified Bible, it says, it is actually reported there is sexual immorality among you, impurity of a sort that is condemned and does not occur even among the heathen, for a man has his own father's wife. That's what shared just now in the King James Version. And you are proud and arrogant, and you aren't ready to mourn, which bow in sorrow or in shame, until the person who has done this shameful thing is removed from your fellowship and you're amiss. Paul is saying, you know what? He can't be in the fellowship like doing this stuff. He has to be put out, because this is sin. And this is sin that's being done on purpose. And this cannot be tolerated in the church, and this person has got to be let go for a time. As for my attitude, though I am absent from you in body, I am present in spirit, and I have already decided in past judgment as actually present. So Paul is saying, I've already passed decided, and I've passed judgment as actually present. He's not even there, but he's letting them know, you know what, this has to stop, and it has to stop. Now, you need to do something, and this must be corrected, because this is sin, and it's not to be allowed. It's amazing that in this verse, in this chapter, Paul is now letting the Corinthian church know that this man who is he's having an incest relationship with his mother, that this is ungodly, this is unacceptable, and this cannot continue in the church. So here's the question I have to ask. If Paul is, you know, people say, well, you know, and once again, we get back to that subject, you know, about men with men, women with women, you know, and everyone's saying, oh, you know, it's okay, a marriage, and God didn't mean that. Well, here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where it's incest, and Paul is letting the church know in the Corinthian church, you can't do this. This is not right. It's ungodly. It's sin. It's fornication, and it's unacceptable, and you've got to do something about it. So if Paul is so adamant about this area, and he's letting them know that this is not acceptable in God's eyes, and in the word it's unacceptable, and the person who's in the church doing this, and he needs to be excommunicated, I guess, is the word, then why would there be a difference in Romans 1? Or in the other places in the New Testament where God says that men with men and women with women is sin. It's a reprobate mind. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you get the same, you get a different version, but it's still fornication, it is still sexual sin, and it is unacceptable, and it is wrong. And Paul is saying, do something. Correct this problem. This person can't stay in the fellowship. Verse 4 says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the man who's committed such a deed, when you and my own spirit are met together in the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man over to Satan's physical discipline to destroy carnal lust which prompted him to incest, that his spirit may yet be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. And then it talks about the condition of the church. Your boasting is not good. Indeed, it's most unseemly and entirely out of place. Do you know that just a little leaven would ferment the whole lump of dough? Purge, clean out the old leaven, that you may be fresh, new dough. Still uncontaminated as you are, for Christ our Passover, the Lamb has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us not keep the feast, not with old leaven, talking about the old ways, living the old lifestyle, nor with leaven of vile and malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of purity, nobility, and honor, and sincerity, and unadulterated truth. Well, gee, so people say, you know, oh God, you know, look, here we go again, it's all about grace, you know. And here Paul is saying, you know what, you can't live as a Christian with the leaven of vice and malice and wickedness. You just can't. You must live with the bread of purity, nobility, and honor with sincerity and truth. In verse 9, it says, I wrote you in my previous letter not to associate, which means closely and habitually, with unchaste, impure people. Not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the immoral people of this world or the greedy graspers and cheats and thieves or our idolaters, since otherwise you would need to get out of the world and human and society together. So Paul knows that, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And this is, and we may be around people that aren't Christian, and they may be doing things that are not right according to the Word of God. But at the same time, we need to be out there sharing Christ, showing Christ to them, not doing what they're doing, but at least being in there on a workplace, a work site, or somehow being where they are and not doing what they're doing, but at the same time showing Christ so they can see that we don't do the same things they do because we've been transformed and changed by the Word of God and by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, but now I write unto you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian, brother, if he is known to be guilty of immorality or greed, or as an idolater, whose soul is devoted to any object that usurps the place of God, or as a person with a foul tongue, railing, abusive, reviling, slandering, or as a drunkard, or a swindler, or a robber. No, you must not as much eat with such a person. And I believe what Paul is saying is you can't agree with that lifestyle that it's okay. And call yourself a Christian. Now, people, like I said before, people are going to do what they're going to do. And people have a choice to do what they've decided, the choice they made to do. But that doesn't mean we have to agree that it's right. And Paul is saying here in verse 11, and I'll read it to you again. It says, but now I write to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian, brother, if he is known to be guilty. In other words, he's doing this, and he's calling himself a Christian, and he keeps on doing it. And according to the Word of God, he's doing that which is, he or she actually is doing that which is against the Word of God. Therefore, Paul is saying you need to not be in agreement with these people. These people who are guilty of immorality or greed, or is an idolater whose soul is devoted to any object that usurps the place of God. In other words, they make whatever that they are doing an idol. They want to. How do I say this to you? They want to take the Word of God, and they want to conform it to what they want it to be, and they want to do what they want to do, and twist the word to make it look like it's okay. And Paul is saying, you know what? You can't agree with them. And it's best that you stay away from them, because these people, they think what they're doing is okay, and according to the Word of God, it's wrong. Okay. Says whose soul is devoted, that's what we read just a minute ago, devoted to any object that usurps the place of God, with a person with a foul tongue, railing, abusing, reviling, and slandering, or is a drunkard, or a swindler, or a robber. No, you must not much as eat with such a person. So Paul is saying, you know, it's not just immorality or greed or idolater. It's those who are drunkards, those who try to swindle people, try to, you know, use people and take advantage of them, or people, of course, that just take from other people and think it's okay, and they call themselves Christian. That's why I don't like, you know, saying that I'm a Christian. Like I said, I'd rather say I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of the Lord, because everybody that's calling themselves Christian, there's people who are adult stars that call themselves Christian, and they keep on doing the lifestyle they did. They just think, well, now I'm under grace, I've asked forgiveness, you know, God loves me, and I can continue doing that, and they're so wrong. They're so wrong, and because even here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is saying, you know what, you cannot do this and call yourself a Christian. And people do. In the 12th verse, it says, "What business of mine is it that you? What business of mine is it, and what right have I to judge outsiders?" He's asking a question. Is it not those inside the church from whom you are to pass disciplinary judgment, which is passing censoring sentence on them as the facts require? So you don't just, you know, start judging people, you know, and not know what's really going on. You got to see what's happening in their lifestyle that works. And you need to go to them in love and say, you know what, according to the word of God, this is wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And they say, well, I'm going to keep on doing it, and I'm going to keep on doing it, and keep doing it, keep doing it. And then you have to, you know, respond to that and let them know, well, then, you know what, you're not going according to the word of God, and right now at this time it's best you stay out of our fellowship if you're going to continue saying you're a Christian and continue doing this. You know, and my position is I don't mind anyone coming, you know, to our fellowship, people who aren't saved. That's one of the most important parts. I would never kick nobody out if they were living a lifestyle that was not, you know, as they would say, Christ-like. Because they have to taste and see that the Lord is good, you know, and they have to realize they have to have the opportunity to hear the word and let the word let them know that the things they're doing is wrong and sinful, so the Holy Spirit can convict them and they can repent and turn away from those sins and become part of the family of God. But someone who is playing a game, as I call it, who continue going to church but keep living the lifestyle of the world and keep doing it and know they're doing it, then it has to be addressed. It has to, because they have to know that they're not walking according to the word of God. And in the 13th verse, it says, God alone sits in judgment on those who are outside. So he says, drive out that wicked one from among you, or expel him from your church. You see, what he's saying is God alone who sits in judgment on those who are on the outside. Which means the people who are not saved. He's the one going to take care of that. But being a minister of God, being a Christian, you know, if we see a brother or sister doing stuff that isn't right, and they refuse to listen to what the Word of God says, not according to what we say, but according to what the Word of God says, then Paul is saying expel them from the church. If they continue doing that, of course, if they repent and they ask forgiveness, you welcome back with open arms and you just keep on moving on, and you say, okay, what you did, you did, and you ask forgiveness, and we're going to accept you right back. But that's the only reason. It's hard on this one because people always say, oh, you shouldn't judge, you know. Don't judge nobody. Judge not, you know, you'll be judged. Well, that's true. If you judge according to what you think, what you perceive is right. But if you're going by the word of God and you're doing it in love, you know, you have then it's not no more you judging. It's the word of God judging them by what their condition or what they're doing. And as it says here, and Paul is saying that, you know what, this person has to be expelled from the church until they repent, until they stop doing what they're doing and repent of their sins and come back in right fellowship with God, and they can come right fellowship with the church. We're going to continue this with chapter 6, because I think this has a lot that makes it more understandable of what Paul is saying in chapter 5. Well, let's look at chapter 6 while we still got some time. Does there any of you have a matter against any another, for the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is only a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of himself with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And here we go again. Paul is telling the Corinthian church that, you know what, this man who's having this incestual relations, you know what? If he continue on doing this, he's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But then Paul lets it be clearly known also that no idolaters, no adulterers, no effeminate, no abusers of himself with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And in verse 11 says, and such were some of you, for you are washed by the blood, of course. You are sanctified, set apart, but you are justified, just as though it never happened, as in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat for the belly and belly for the meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God is both raised up the Lord, and will raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? So two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Paul even stated in the first letter that you don't belong to yourself no more. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, and he purchased you with his holy blood, he owns you. Says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So Paul is making it very clear that you can't do this stuff. And it's not acceptable and not going to be allowed. Well, let's take a look at it, what it looks like in the Amplified in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just a few verses. We'll start with verse 1, but it says, there, if any of you dare, which, well, let's go, it doesn't matter. Let's go instead to verse 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? The question, do not be deceived, don't be misled. Neither the impure or immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who participate in Homosexuality. Wow. You know, everybody talks about Romans 1 and they say, oh no, God didn't mean that here. Paul's talking about here in Rome, in 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 9. The last part of the verse says, and nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor cheats, swindlers, or thieves, nor greedy, graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed revilers and slanderers, nor extortioners, and robbers will have inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. I mean, it's as simple as can get, people. The word of God don't lie. People can call it what they want to call it. They can say, you know, we're, you know, grace, 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 grace. But Paul is laying the law down. He's saying it straight out. If you do these things, you cannot have any share or any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So Paul is letting the Corinthian church know, you know what? If what this guy's doing is wrong, and it's simple, but I'm letting you know there are others. If they're doing any of these other things, I want you to know they're not going to have any share in the or inheritance in the kingdom of God. But then he comes back in verse 11 and says, and such was some of you once, but you were washed clean, purified by complete atonement for sin, and made free from the guilt of sin. And you were consecrated, set apart, identified, shared, hallowed. And you were justified, pronounced righteous by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. Verse 12 says, everything is permissible, allowable, and lawful for me, but not all things are helpful, good for me to do, expedient and profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not become a slave of anything or be brought under its power. Food is intended for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will finally end the function of both and bring them to nothing. The body is not intended for sexual immorality, but is intended for the Lord, and the Lord is intended for the body to save, sanctify, and raise it again. And God will raise the Lord to life and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not see and know that your bodies are members, bodily parts of Christ, the Messiah? Am I therefore to take the parts of Christ and make them parts of a prostitute? Never, never. Or do you know and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. It says in verse 18, shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. I'd like to stop right there for a moment, if I may. In this end of the verse of verse 18, it says, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And I truly believe, and this is just once again, I'll put this on the record, that this is my own opinion. I want my own belief on this. But when you commit fornication, sexual sin, you sin against your body. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So in a way, there are things that could happen to your body by who's ever committing sexual sin. And they keep on having sexual sin, sexual sin, sexual sin. They're hurting their own body. And they don't even know it. In what way? I don't know. I can't say. But I truly believe that if the Bible says the wages of sin is death, if you're sinning against your body, then you're giving the devil an opportunity to do something. Because you're in the devil's playground, and who knows what it could be. It could be a disease. It could be just something that's draining your life away. I don't know. But I do know that it says here in the scripture that if you commit sexual sin, you're committing sexual sin, immorality, sins against your own body. You're sinning against your own body. Other sins, you know, it's not sinning against your body. It's fornication. You're sinning against your own body. And the Bible says, once again, the consequence of the sin is death. And so, in a way, if you don't repent and ask forgiveness, it's seriously killing your body by the sexual sins that a person is doing. It says, okay, in verse 18, do you not know that your body is a temple, a very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom we have received as a gift from God, and you are not your own. You were bought with a price. purchased with a precious and paid for, made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. So Paul is saying very clearly that, you know, if you claim to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, then you should not commit sexual sin because you belong to the Lord. That immorality or fornication is not acceptable. And it's only going to cause grief and trouble and consequences that are not good. Paul is saying that you shouldn't do it because you're sinning against your own body. And you don't want to do it because you're in the devil's playground. And when you're in the devil's playground, you're going to have to play by his rules until you repent and ask forgiveness and turn away and run away from the traps the enemy might try to catch you in. We learned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that Paul was judging. And he judged righteousness according to the word of God. And he said, you know what, this man is doing, having his father's wife and committing this act is not Christ-like. And you're not doing anything about it, so you need to do something about it, or I will. And this person needs to be expelled from the church at this time, both until they repent and ask forgiveness, and they can come back into the fellowship. But Paul was not just saying to the Corinthian church that, as we read in chapter 6, that he was saying, you know, if anyone who's a drunkard or a reviler, anyone who's an extortioner, anyone who, you know, is a robber, the adulterer, even homosexuality. These people cannot and will not inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody talks about Romans 1 and says, oh, no, you know, that's not what it says. You know what? If they start really reading the New Testament, they start really reading the epistles, almost every book that is in the New Testament, when it comes to these topics that are, how do I say it, very delicate to certain people, they find out that Paul reiterates it in many of the books, in like 1 Corinthians, we just read it. It's in Romans, of course, we know that. It's in Titus. There's a few other places that it really specifies that you live this lifestyle, you cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. And so what's important to understand and realize is that we must take the word of God as it is and not try to change it to our own advantage or not try to do, like this I told you before, this hyper grace thing, you know, super grace, oh, it's okay. You just have forgiveness and everything's fine and dandy. And like I said, in the sixth chapter of Galatians, it says, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that same thing shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption. But if he sows to the spirit, he'll reap life everlasting. And Paul is reiterating once again to the Corinthian church, you know what? If you're doing this stuff and you continue doing this, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But and then he says in that next verse, but I don't believe you're all doing this. I believe that you understand you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've made been new, you know, through the covenant of the New Testament. And like we shared, and I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that behold, all things become new and fresh, and all things are of God. So, if this message has touched your heart and you realize that, you know, you have not been living the way you should be. You just have just been living your own lifestyle and doing any way you want to do. I welcome and invite you to the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. There is no other way to get to heaven. There is no way to have eternal life. The only way to receive eternal life is through Jesus Christ. So, you feel that dwelling of the Holy Spirit and you sense that love of God and that conviction of God bringing you to the place of repentance, then I ask you to will you please pray with me together as we pray this prayer and believe God to do a work in your life. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I repent of all my wrongdoings and my rebellion and my failures and running away from you. I ask that you forgive me. I repent. I ask you now to become my Savior and Lord. I ask you to come in my life, hold on to me, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Give me hunger and thirst for your word. And I just thank you, Lord, that now I'm part of the family of God. My sins are all gone. And I've been made new. I am born again through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. In Jesus Christ, amen. You prayed that prayer, God bless you. If you'd like to share that on the air, please do. Or you can write me at P.O. Box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. That's P.O. Box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. Before we go, I'd like to pray for those who need a touch of God, healing, miracle. They're crying out to God for. I just want to pray for those who are hurting and who need God to heal them and make them whole. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for everybody out there in hospitals and those who are in positions where they feel there's no hope. I pray, Lord God, you give them hope. I pray, Lord God, you touch those who are sick. I pray, Lord God, you touch those who are at the point of not knowing what direction to go. I pray, Lord God, you just minister to them. I pray that your healing power would touch them, whatever sickness, disease is attacking their body. I pray, Lord God, that they could shut in. I pray, Lord God, you touch and minister to them. I pray, Lord God, for those who may be bound by alcohol or drugs or by any other thing, any chains the enemy would try to put on them. In the name of Jesus, I break those chains. I break the spirit of depression. I break the spirit of alcohol. And I break the works of darkness upon them all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for the ones you're healing, saving, and set free and deliver in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen. Well, I pray that the broadcast was a blessing, and I pray that you have learned something during this broadcast. Like I said, if you don't believe me, check out the Word of God for yourself. Well, check what we read talking about in the last broadcast, like Corinthians chapter 5, and what we talked about today in this broadcast. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6. And don't go by, like I said before, what I would say, or, go by what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that we must obey what the Word of God says. And if we do that, and we trust Him in that Word, and He'll help us. And the Bible says that, that Thy Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. And so we just got to trust God's Word, because as Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. So before I go off this broadcast, I just want you to remember that people build empires, but God builds people. God builds people by His Word and through His Holy Spirit. God bless you all.